You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and Big Time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host each and every week, Dr. Brian McCarty. Dr. Brian, how are you?
I am great. I made curfew last night, and I am in the game.
If you didn't make curfew, I was either going to have to just let you talk a little bit or fire you like they
did. Hey, man. Oh, I always make curfew. I'm too old to miss curfew. Yeah,
you know what? I am too.
What is Eddie doing out late on a Wednesday night?
I don't know.
Bad boy.
And you know what? He had two good weeks in a row. I wish they would have called me to let me know that was going to happen.
I would have taken him off our fantasy team.
We would have.
I did the same thing.
It doesn't matter.
0 points.
Yeah, I'm already done. I'm out of the playoffs.
Not me, man. I'm going to the playoffs.
Why you got a break like that? Hey, did you stay up and watch the end?
No, of course not. I had surgery the following morning.
And those people, thank you for that.
Yes, I'm always prepared. So, no, I do a very careful assessment of the game through about the third quarter. And then I go to bed. And then when I wake up, I check to see if the score is compelling. And if it is, then I go back and look at the highlights, which I did. And it was fantastic.
My wife went to bed.
That was the greatest pass.
Oh, my goodness.
Only the Lions.
Terry went to bed when it was 20,
win that game.
20 to nothing. She said, I don't understand. I can't do this anymore.
That was brutal. It was terrible.
And I said, no, you know what? I'm going to come to bed in 5 minutes. And then they scored. And then they got a fumble. And I'm like, okay, now I'm locked in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm screaming. And I went and woke her up. Made her get out of bed and come watch. I said, you got to get up. You got to get up. And she goes, did they win? I go, yeah, they won. Wait till you see how they won. And the rest, they say, is
well, that
history.
That Lions defender is a criminal. He almost killed Rodgers with that face mask.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what it was. Hey,
sticking with that story. By the way, for Pete Packer fans who are out there who are watching that game, our guest today, Michael Curley, is a physician who's a cardiologist, electrophysiologist with Wheaton Franciscan, and he can help you with your heart problem if you keep watching the Packers.
I can't wait to get to him.
Hey, so we're gonna get to him in a little bit. So,
and he has us fully prepared.
He has us incredibly well prepared.
This has been awesome.
We're
going to
talk about all kinds of concerns regarding clearance for play, sudden cardiac death, when should you be able to be cleared, how do you get back into exercise if you're older, all these kinds of things we're going to talk about in a little bit. But most importantly, what to do if you get chest pain during a Packer game will be a big topic.
And we will talk to him about that. We're going to talk about a couple of injuries from the Packers. And I wanted to read a quote for you because I think this is really, it fits in with what we talk about here each and every week. But David McCarthy is talking about David Bakhtiari. He said he's all beat up. In fact, they're all beat up. I just visited David early. His words to me was he plans on practicing each and every day. Your big guys obviously plan the four games, the four division games, 11-day period. I think the fact that you hear a lot about the two turf games in the last three-play segment, that's something that's really hard, particularly on the big guys with their joints. So when you talk about the offensive line is beat up like crazy. I mean, they were down to their last offensive lineman. And the fact that they're playing a number of games in a shorter period than they normally would with turf games on turf, pretty hard on offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, the game itself, I think, is hard on them. I mean, they were hoping that the Lions would use the five banana thing, you know, before
they
start.
One banana, two behind.
Yeah. But they weren't interested, I guess. No, look, I think that the turfs are different than they were years ago. You know, years ago when they started with AstroTurf, it was literally concrete with like a plastic carpet on top.
Yep.
And that was incredibly hard on everybody. Now, these days they have what's called sport turf. So people who aren't aware of what's out there today, they're much more sophisticated. It's hard to say if they're actually any worse or better than grass today, because the fibers are much longer, and they actually have sort of fake dirt in there also.
It's rubber,
and you have to re-mat that periodically to give some cushion to the stuff. So look, I'm not an offensive lineman. I suspect they can tell if, you know, if it's harder on them and they play on the turf and they find that it's hard on them. But I have a feeling in this case, it's mostly guys like Corey Linsley getting rolled up on again and,
right,
and dinging his ankle. And Bulaga's been out with this meniscus and the MCL injury. I mean, they're beat up. I mean, the whole team has really been injured a lot this year. So I think the four games coming in this short span, I think has been very hard on them. And I think getting this 10-day break will hopefully, especially coming off a win like that, where you did not expect that.
Right.
And they've had several games they could have won that they did not. This has got to be a huge uplift for them. And I think it'll make them a lot happier for the next 10 days than if they had lost that game, which, frankly, they probably ought to have.
So some of these guys, and we will get to Dr. Michael Curley here in a minute. Some of these guys will be able to then take this weekend and probably through Tuesday or Wednesday before they even have to think about getting back to the practice field. It seems like offensive linemen, maybe it's just because they're tougher than most, and everybody's smiling. They seem to come back some of these injuries a little quicker. Maybe it's because they're working in small spaces, but they've got to get some of these guys back. The one guy I wanted to talk to you most about because he hasn't been back is Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, you know, let me just hit on that offensive line thing. I think part of the issue with them is you can hide a lot of injuries there that you cannot hide at a skill position. So in a skill position setting, if you have a bad ankle or something, you just can't function. And I think we're seeing that to some
right.
degree because these guys can't get open. And if you have a bad shoulder, you can't jump up and grab a ball. But in an offensive line situation, some of those injuries can be masked to some degree, and they can call plays that help that. So they can sort of call plays to that side or the other side, depending on what's going on. You get to a certain point where they can't use their footwork, and then it doesn't work. And that's where they've been recently. This issue with Montgomery is concerning. I mean, he's been out for ages now. So I honestly don't know. I don't have an update other than the fact that, unfortunately, he's still not playing. And so if he's not practicing and he's not playing, and that means that his speed probably wouldn't be what it should be anyway.
Right.
So it's not looking very good. But, you know, we've still got hopefully at least another 6 weeks. If we're lucky, we get through into some playoff games and all that. That's where the bye comes in, a big deal in the playoffs if you can get it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get him back. That receiving core
they need him big time.
They do need him big time. Let's introduce our special guest. He is Dr. Michael Curley. He's a cardiac electrophysiologist.
That was very nice, Mike.
Thank you. Practiced that all morning. My wife, I called her. I said, is this how you pronounce this? She said, you say it better than I do. I said, that's awesome.
You just break it down syllable by syllable.
That's what I did. Those nuns from St. Peter and Paul taught me well. Again, he's a cardiac electrophysiologist, Wheaton Franciscan. You can check out his information at mywheaton.org. Michael, it's nice to meet you.
Very good to meet you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're a Packer guy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Wisconsin guy?
Absolutely. Grew up here.
Great. There you go. So you know exactly what people were going through as far as watching that game.
And it was intense.
And that was intense. Did you stay up and watch it?
I was actually at the hospital. I had an emergency to attend to.
Yeah, I got a text from you that night about 2:40 in the morning. And I got up at 4 and I thought, hey, this is my kind of guy right here. Only I was getting up and you were, I think, going to bed. Dr. Bryant, can you kind of talk, and we only have a couple minutes in this segment, about what Dr. Curley, some of the things that he does and what we're going to talk about today?
Well, I'm mostly going to let him talk about it because it's really incredible. Dr. Curley trained at the Medical College of Wisconsin and did his residency training there as well, I believe, right, and a cardiac fellowship. So he's now in practice at Wheaton and doing a lot of community outreach, doing a lot of the same things, frankly, that I've done with musculoskeletal medicine in the community sector, being an ambassador to let people know more about what it is that we really do. So
sure.
Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, absolutely. I should probably start by explaining what an electrophysiologist is.
So that would be outstanding.
Yeah, electrophysiologist is a cardiologist or a heart doctor who focuses entirely on the management of heart rhythm abnormalities. So we see folks in a clinic setting, but we also perform a wide range of procedures. So we implant pacemakers for people with slow heart rhythms. We do catheter ablations for folks with dangerous fast heart rhythms and implant defibrillators for people who are at risk of sudden cardiac death. In regards to the sporting realm specifically, Given that arrhythmias are the most common cause of sudden death in an athlete, we're often called on to evaluate a person who has symptoms concerning for an exercise-induced irregular heart rhythm. So, you know, an athlete might find his or her way to my office as part of a pre-sports physical, especially if they have a history of an irregular heart rhythm or they're having palpitations. And sometimes those sort of things can restrict them from an activity. So they may end up in my office for a consultation.
So, Dr. Curley, what you're saying, I think, is that when guys like me are doing pre-participation physicals, which, you know, as Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine, we do all during the summer leading into the fall season for athletes, if we identify someone who has an abnormal heart sound or maybe has a rhythm abnormality or maybe has some episodes where they're fainting or, you know, often you'd be the next guy up, right?
Absolutely. As
someone who actually would be able to then dive into this and find out what's really going on.
Absolutely.
Hey, doctor, can I ask, as a high school basketball coach, years ago there was a young man at Whitefish Bay who passed away on the court, and that seemed to shine a bright light on this, especially in the circles that I run in, and the WI took notice to it as well. And I'm wondering, is that kind of what we're going to be talking about today?
Absolutely. So that's okay. A very good example. I think the young man's name was Adam.
Yes.
And that was a number of years ago. But, you know, those sort of episodes really are really traumatizing for, obviously, the family, the community. And so those are exactly the sort of cases that we want to try to identify before they happen. But talk a little bit about why someone like Adam died on the court, and there's some other really good examples to discuss today.
Yeah. So what we're talking about for those out there listening and driving around in their car, perhaps, is a sudden death occurring from a young, healthy athlete, and how do you identify that to prevent that from occurring? Because there are interventions that Dr. Curley can do that can prevent this from occurring if we identify it. And sometimes it requires a change in activity, but the key thing is finding those people and hopefully preventing that from happening. And we were talking before we started about how we haven't seen as much of that recently, and perhaps that's because of some of these things that have occurred. So after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how does Dr. Curley do that? How do we identify those people? And so stay tuned. You don't want to miss the next segment. We'll talk all about that after the break.
And we will. And you can also utilize Twitter if you want. Hashtag SportsMedRadio. Hashtag SportsMedRadio. If you have a question for Dr. Michael Curley, he is our special guest. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. What a perfect song for our show today. My co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty, our special guest, is Dr. Michael Curley. He's a cardiac electrophysiologist. You can check out his information at mywheaton.org. That's mywheaton.org. Guys, let's start off, if we can, with the topic of children and athletics and who needs a pre-participation sports physical and why.
Yeah, so generally speaking, a detailed physical exam needs to be done by a qualified physician, you know, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, at least every 2 years for a kid participating in sports. And there are some states that require an annual examination. But that evaluation, that relationship with a provider is really important to make sure that a kid's safe going into sports.
Yeah, and we do these every year and offer them to the community through Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Program. And it's important, you know. So typically kids come in every couple of years. We talk to them mostly about family history, screening, all of that. And then we do an examination. It's a good chance also for athletes to tell us about their musculoskeletal problems. So we're talking today about bad moon rising, about heart problems. But we also catch a lot of these things, you know, kids who suddenly now admit, geez, you know, the shoulder hasn't been really working or it's been popping out of place. So that's an important thing. So every couple of years in the state of Wisconsin, you require people to, you know, a doctor or a nurse practitioner or PA to sign off on a pre-petition eval, and or pre-participation eval, and I would very much recommend that people follow through with that.
Can I ask Dr. Curley, what age should parents think about having their kids come in? Because again, I'm a high school basketball coach, and I know once you get to the high school age, you need to do that every 2 years. Would you recommend earlier, or is that about the age you need to?
Yeah, I mean, I think as soon as kids are starting to get into truly competitive sports, and frankly, that's getting earlier and earlier. So certainly at the middle school level, you know, once you get to sixth grade, kids are out there playing pretty intense sports. So certainly by that age. But even prior to that, children need to have a really close relationship with a pediatrician who can do some of these things.
I know Dr. Tracy used his prenatal ultrasound for one of his kids.
His kids are good athletes, man, and they're really competitive. I'm just telling you, I envy him for getting to go to all those games. Hey, before we move on, there has been a number of examples and of athletes that we know about died suddenly during competition. I think, at least for me, because I'm a basketball guy, Hank Gathers was that first one that really brought and shined light on a national basis to this. But there's been others with Pete Maravich and Reggie Lewis and guys like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that Hank Gathers one I remember from my childhood as well. You know, I think many of your listeners may remember that he was a real standout college athlete. In fact, I think he was one of only two folks in NCAA history to lead the NCAAs in both scoring and rebounding in a single year.
Yeah, he was
certainly destined for the NBA, but he had a very serious condition. I think it was in March of 1990, a tournament game. He went up for an alley-oop dunk, scored, was trotting down the court, and collapsed. Unfortunately, he died a short time later at a local hospital, and it was found that he had a condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. That's a significant thickening of the heart muscle that predisposes people to dangerous irregular heart rhythms. And it was a heart rhythm that ultimately killed him.
So explain that. What exactly happens there? People understand the lub-dub that happens in their heart, but what exactly do you mean? So when they get an irregular rhythm, what happens to the heart?
Yeah. So the heart is a pump, essentially, but it has a plumbing system and an electrical system. So when people hear about heart attacks, that's a blockage of one of the arteries that supplies the heart muscle. So that's essentially like the plumbing system of the heart. These irregular rhythms that Hank Gathers had, Pistol Pete Maravich had, that comes from the electrical system. So areas within the heart can get very irritable and start triggering fast heartbeats that essentially aren't conducive with life.
So is this analogous in some ways to the way that nerves fire muscles throughout your body?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you want to move your arm, you contract the muscle and that moves the bones for you, right? So in the heart, I'm assuming the same nerves fire and they cause muscular contraction.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a nervous system that's firing the muscles of the heart and making the four chambers of the heart contract at the right times.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
To make the blood pump. Otherwise, the pump doesn't really work.
Exactly.
So when you have an irregularity, Mike, what happens is the it doesn't pump. And so if it doesn't pump, you don't get blood going through the body, and then you've got major problems.
You're exactly right, Dr. McCarty. Pretty impressive for an orthopedist to explain the cardiovascular
system. He didn't know any of this till we started hanging out, and I kind of taught him
You worked him through that.
When I was in doctor school, they taught us that there was a heart and that it was to pump antibiotics to the bones and joints.
This is two doctors talking smack. That's awesome. Hey, before we get to a break, the family history of somebody, how much does that come into play when you're doing some of the things that you're doing, doctor?
Absolutely. So that's critically important. You know, many of these conditions that predispose a young athlete to sudden cardiac death is something that can be tipped off if we look at their family history. So just a few thoughts about family history. That's essentially when we ask an individual about what sort of conditions their parents may have had, or their grandparents, aunts, and uncles. And what we're specifically asking is, has anybody in the family ever suddenly died of an unexplained reason? Has anybody had a heart attack at a young age, under 50 or 60? So those are things that are critically important to try to get a sense of what sort of risk is someone at.
Yeah, I'll add to that. I mean, I know a number of years ago there was a look back at the pre-participation physical examinations that we just spoke about. And the single most important question that's asked in that whole thing is that question. Has anyone in your family ever died of a sudden cardiac incident or died unexpectedly, especially under the age of 50? So for parents and people out there who are filling those forms out, really think through that, because that really is very important to us. I actually re-ask that question to every one of our athletes and parents when they come back in, even if it's checked no.
Right.
And sometimes, it's amazing, sometimes they'll say, well, there was Uncle so-and-so, you know, and they'll remember somebody. And that's a flag for us to make sure that we do, we maybe get them to see Dr. Curley or somebody to make sure that there's no issue there. And, you know, most of the time there isn't. I wanted to ask you this because you brought this up in one of the forms that you filled out for us. And that was the question, how often is this a problem? How many, you know, if you took 100,000 kids, how many kids would have a major cardiac problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So that, fortunately, it's extremely rare. It's estimated that there's just 4 or 5 kids out of every 100 young athletes who may have a serious life-threatening cardiac condition.
You mean 4 or 5 out of every 100,000?
Right, I'm sorry.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I got a little nervous there.
Yeah,
out of 100.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, out of 100,000. So put another way, there's typically about 10, maybe 15 folks who die during an intense sporting activity every year, and that's both children and adults. Put another way, kids are 4,000 to 5,000 times more likely to die in a motor vehicle accident than they are of a heart condition while they're on a sporting field. So it's rare, but obviously anytime a young person dies, it's an exceedingly tragic event and something that we all hope to avoid.
Do you know, with where we are right now with testing, shouldn't we encourage more extensive testing prior to activity? I mean, wouldn't you recommend that if we can, and the whole if we can save one child kind of line? But there's ways to make sure that before your children get out and compete at a high level, that we can make sure that they are ready to go through some of the things that you do.
Sure. So it's a very good question, Coach. There's some controversy in the medical community about what sort of testing should be done before we put a kid out on a sporting field. What's clearly been shown to be helpful is what Dr. McCarty spoke about before, that pre-participation sports physical, where you do a detailed family history, you listen to the heart, you listen to the lungs, you're doing a good musculoskeletal exam. There are some countries that require an EKG to be done as a part of that sports physical, Italy, for example. And they have some limited evidence to suggest that that has reduced the number of kids who die suddenly on the field. The issue gets to be that you have to test, you know, 100,000 kids with an EKG, which is, you know, not an inexpensive test.
Sure.
To find 1 or 2 abnormalities. The other thing is that oftentimes that additional testing oftentimes leads to what we call false positive tests. That's a test that may look a little abnormal when there's actually no abnormality in that kid. And it leads to a lot of stress and anxiety in families and potentially unnecessary additional testing. There are a number of organizations looking at this, and essentially they almost all recommend the pre-sports physical and history. But no additional testing unless, as Dr. McCarty mentioned before, red flags are raised.
Yeah, so symptoms are a big issue here. You know, some of them come without symptoms, but most of them have some kind of symptoms leading in or a family history that's suggestive. And one thing we have to keep in mind, and this isn't just about this issue, but just in general, is, you know, you rob Peter to pay Paul to some degree. You can't do everything for every person all the time. So, you know, we're still struggling to get basic health care to a lot of people, and so we can't afford to just do every test for everybody. But at the same time, if there is a positive family history, if there are a history of symptoms, or there's anything picked up on the exam that's abnormal, for example, even a guy like me, believe it or not, can pick up a murmur or can hear a heart rhythm abnormality, then we want to get them off to see Dr. Curley so that he can evaluate them further. And really, that's the most effective way to do it.
Hey, guys, let's get to a break. We've talked about kids and what needs to be done. I'd like to, if we can, in this segment, move on to adults and weekend warriors and guys that, like me, that still think they can play softball and do all that stuff. And I've got some questions for you on the other side of the break. Our special guest, he's Dr. Michael Curley. You can check out his information at mywheaton.org. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. And that is the band Heart. What a perfect selection for our show today.
That'll pump you up.
That'll pump you up.
Yeah.
And
get
our
rhythm.
There you go. Our special guest, Dr. Michael Curley. He's a cardiac electrophysiologist. Check his information out at mywheaton.com. So, Dr. Curley, we've talked about young athletes, you know, from sixth grade on. Okay, let's move in, if we can, into adults. And you know, guys, we talk a lot about weekend warriors on this show. And there are a lot of guys that keep thinking they can continue to play that end up going to see Dr. McCarty with certain things. But before they get back into participation, should they be coming to see you and getting tested prior to either a really strenuous workout that they're going to do for the first of the year, trying to lose some weight, get back in shape, or before they get back on the field or court?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think anybody who's starting up a new intense physical activity regimen needs to touch base with a primary care physician, again, a physician, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, to help sort out, does anything need to be done to help control blood pressure or other things that can be correctable before they take on a real intense sporting event? So one thing I would say about this is, you know, like with children, adults need pre-sports physicals. The issues that affect adults, though, oftentimes are different than they are for children. So we talked a lot about sudden cardiac death for children related to irregular heart rhythms from something like hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, that condition that we talked about with Hank Gathers. So it's that sort of thing is less commonly the issue for adults. When adults die suddenly on an athletic field, it's most commonly related to a sudden blockage of a heart artery or ischemic heart disease. So that's the condition that we're really focusing on in the adult population.
Yeah, I mean, it might seem really obvious to people that the heart is full of blood, right? So they might think, well, how could the heart not get enough blood? It's filled with this stuff. But what they don't realize is there's a different system of arteries that actually supplies blood to the heart that allows it to pump. So the part that it's pumping is not what supplies it with oxygen. It's actually supplied by a different arterial system, and that system can get blocked, and that's what Dr. Curley is mentioning. So in we always talk about this, and it's worth mentioning again that children and adults are different.
Right.
And children are not little adults. And unfortunately, adults aren't big. Well, some of us are big children, but we're not
only
physically,
mentally.
We're not physically big children. So these things are different. And so, you know, we see this a lot also. People who want to get back and active, and they've been inactive for quite a long time, and they want to just jump right in and do P90X like they're, you know, 20. And it really isn't the best idea without getting some sort of evaluation first.
Absolutely. So, you know, the P90X is a great workout, but is incredibly taxing on the heart and the vasculature. Creates extremely high blood pressures. That places a stress on the heart, jacks up stress hormones. That can impact the heart. And so absolutely, Dr. McCarty, those folks who are starting that sort of regimen absolutely need to get in and have an evaluation.
How often, if I can, should adults who participate in sports be getting screened?
Very good question. There's less agreement amongst the organizations that attend to these sort of things, like American Heart Association, in regards to this. But generally speaking, adults should have an annual examination with a primary care provider. And when they're taking on an intense new activity, absolutely need to get in. So ideally on an every year basis, but at least every other year probably.
Yeah, and I want to echo that. One of the things that Dr. Curley's alluding to is this issue about blood pressure and constantly talking about, well, the blood pressure this, the blood pressure that. Well, the reason that's important is the pressure is what the heart fights against. So the higher the blood pressure, the more the heart has to pump and the harder it is on the heart to do that. Just like it would be if you had a sump pump and it was trying to push against resistance, it's more likely to burn out than it is if it's pumping freely. So one of the things you can't feel is your blood pressure. So, you know, people say, oh, I can tell my blood pressure. Well, no, you can't. And so that's why these screenings, again, the most important parts of them sometimes are simple things. And blood pressure is a really important thing to monitor. And I know, Mike, you've had experience with this where your blood pressure went up and now you've gotten dieted and exercised, and now your blood pressure's come back down. But you wouldn't know the difference. You can't feel it. So people come into the office sometimes and they're up at 190 and they had no idea. And that puts you at very high risk for a heart problem.
Yeah, that, you know what, when my doctor said, hey, we, you know, you've gotten this taken care of, now we need to maintain and you need to keep it where it's at. I think that that's important. Before we get to a break, if heart disease is discovered in an athlete, let's say by a CAT scan or something like that, or one of the scans that you guys do, does that person need to avoid any physical activity at that point?
You know, I almost never restrict an individual from taking part in physical activity because numerous studies have demonstrated the very important physical and emotional impact in a positive way of exercise. But in someone who we know has heart disease, we definitely want to get them in, talk about risk factor modifications, so that being lowering blood pressure, getting the cholesterol down, taking good care of their general health before they get engaged in a really vigorous activity. That person may also be somebody who I refer for an exercise stress test, where we can monitor them at fairly high levels of activity to make sure that they're not having symptoms or EKG changes.
I hear those are a nightmare, by the way. I know they're really good and good tests, but they're tough to go through.
They're challenging, but that's what they're designed to do.
Right.
You know, I just want to say one thing. That sounded a lot like a plan, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it sounded a lot like
having a plan.
Yeah, having a plan.
And if you know what, if we ever change the name of the show, it should be Having a Plan with Dr. Brian McCarty.
No, because that would give away the whole show. Nobody would listen.
We have plans for everything, don't we? We have plans how to get our lawnmower started. You've gotten me on this whole, you need a plan to get this done and follow through. Guys, we've got to get to a break. Our special guest, he is Dr. Michael Curley. You can check out his information at mywheaton.org, and we'll continue our conversation with him on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start mold a new reality closer to the heart.
Well, welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. That's Rush, Closer to the Heart. Well done, Mitch. Mitch
Thank
picked
you,
that one.
You
Way
bet.
To go, Mitch.
Nice job.
You're not fired.
They're nope. Still not letting me pick music, but that was good. That's one I would have picked. Again, Rush, Closer to the Heart. Perfect for who we're talking to. Dr. Michael Curley. He is a cardiac electrophysiologist. Wheaton Franciscan Medical Group. Go to mywheaton.org for more information on Dr. Curley. Hey, this last segment, I'd like to start it with this. Dr. Curley, it seems to me that there's a number of people that should get checked out and get tested, but are afraid of the results. And so think, you know what, out of sight, out of mind, I'll just keep moving on and not worry about it. The problem with that is the farther you get and the deeper you get and the older you get, you can't reverse some of this. And so the earlier you find out if you have problems, the better it is.
Absolutely, Coach. So that's a major issue because I can understand coming in to see a doc can be intimidating. But you hit on a really important point that many of these issues, heart disease being one of them, builds and builds and builds over time. And we can never really reverse it. So if we can stop it early, if we can identify it early, and treat the things that are causing its progression, we have a much better chance for keeping that person active, playing sports, well into their advanced years. But if they're not getting checked out regularly, if they're not taking good care of their own bodies, it can turn into a real disaster down the road.
And you know, this applies to everything, really. It's basic hygiene for your body, right? Your body is meant to be out doing things, and so a lot of us become very sedentary because that's the society that we live in. And simple things like addressing your blood pressure issues, addressing some weight gain, the earlier you do it, the better. And we, you know, we always talk about this plan thing, but the idea being that the sooner that you start on something, the less intimidating the journey, right? So, you know, the old Chinese proverb, every great journey starts with one step.
Right.
Well, if you have high blood pressure, it's not going to go away on its own. So you should monitor it. And none of us like that. We don't like the fact that we have to pay attention to it. But boy, we like it a lot when we're healthier, when we're 70 and 80 years old.
And I think a lot of these things build on one another. So yeah, as we gain weight, my guess is, Dr. Mercado, you would probably agree that that places additional stress on our shoulders, knees, hips.
Oh, for sure.
And then certainly can lead to, you know, other issues.
Well, it almost uniformly does, and that's because of the biomechanics of the whole thing. And the same thing is true for the heart, right? Because you have this vascular resistance that increases. As you develop more mass, it's harder for your heart to pump all that blood through it. So the same things are tied together. So the bottom line is, don't hide your head in the sand. You know, establish a plan and make it reasonable, and then take the first step.
And I think oftentimes people think that means that they're going to have to start into some very new complex training program. They have to buy a gym membership and whatnot. But I spend a great deal of time just talking to people about getting active. That doesn't mean necessarily exercise, walking around the block, walking up the stairs in their apartment building. Things that are free, things that are relatively simple, low impact, are a great place to start.
And once they start and they start to see results, because I know this happened in my life and I got a long way to go, but once I saw results, and the first time I did this, Dr. Curley, I spent 5 minutes on an elliptical and did 10 wall push-ups and thought, right, man, I'm going to go have to take a nap.
Right.
And what's happened, because the body is an incredible vehicle and thing that can just... it's never too late. You can get going and get doing something right now. I'm doing things now that 3 years ago, I would have said, there's no chance that this can be happening. One question for you. As we work out and we do things and as we get older, general aches and pains are part of this thing. I mean, that's part of the routine, and you kind of get used to that. But if somebody develops a chest pain during physical activity, what should they do?
Absolutely. So if someone develops chest discomfort that doesn't go away when they sit down and rest, they have to go to an emergency room because they could be having a heart attack. And there are simple things that can be done in the emergency room, basic blood work, an EKG, that can sort that out if they're having a heart attack. And we always say that time is muscle. The longer that someone sits at home or on the athletic field with chest pain, the higher the risk is that they're going to have a very bad outcome from a heart condition.
Yeah, I'm going to make a personal echo on this for Dr. Curley, because I just had a colleague of ours who just recently had a family member who was having chest discomfort and thought it was nothing, thought it was just some heartburn. And they said, we really got to go in. They said, no, I'm fine. No, you got to go in. They went in, and sure enough, she was having a heart attack. And they were able to treat this. She's totally fine. No big thing in the end.
Right.
But had she let it go, she would have had major blockage of a major vessel and either would have died or needed a major surgery or something else. So if you're getting that pressure, feels like an elephant sitting on your chest, you get pain that radiates from your chest up into your jaw or down the arm, make sure you get it checked out. It may seem like a nuisance now, but it's a lot smaller nuisance than having a major heart problem.
And again, if that sort of symptom is picked up early, you can save the trip to the emergency room by going to see a primary care provider. And in that sort of setting, that individual might be able to order something like a stress test to screen for a major issue before it causes a heart attack.
You know, really quick question, and I'm not sure you'll say this is a good question, but where on the chest is it? You know, is it just right where the heart is? Is it anywhere on the chest?
So it's important to realize that people have different sort of pain syndromes. So, you know, classically, people describe pain from a heart attack coming from the mid-chest, just beneath the breastbone.
Okay.
But like Dr. McCarty said, sometimes that pain can actually travel up towards the jaw or to the arm. But there are people who have heart attacks who have very different sort of symptoms, pain in the back, potentially just shortness of breath or nausea. So it can be difficult to sort out at times.
Guys, thank you so much. This has been great. Dr. Curley, I'd love to invite you back in because there's probably another couple of hours worth of questions that I have for you. And I know that Dr. McCarty is as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, terrific job, Michael. Thank you so much for coming. And Wheaton Franciscan's happy to have you, I'm sure. And we'll be looking forward to you taking care of our patients. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You can get his more information on Dr. Michael Curley. Go to mywheaton.org. Guys, have a great weekend. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.